For WKU Public Radio, this is Joe Corcoran. Four South Central Kentucky businessmen and motivational leaders have gotten together to co-author a book called Building Cathedrals, The Power of Purpose. They don't want workers to build a literal cathedral, but they want to instill in employees and employers the spirit to want to build one. Greg Coker and co-author Skip Worth stopped by our studios to talk about the book, and I asked Coker where the title came from.
The cathedral builder, the way we define a cathedral, is a personal expression of purpose. And the book is based on a 300-year-old story. And it has Christopher Wren, who is known in England as one of the greatest architects, was commissioned to rebuild St. Paul's Cathedral after the Great Fire of 1666 that leveled London. And one day in 1671, Christopher Wren observes three bricklayers on a scaffold, one crouched, one half standing, and one standing very tall, working very hard and fast. To the first bricklayer, Christopher Wren asks the question, "What are you doing?" To which he responds, "I'm working." The second bricklayer, when asked the question by Christopher Wren, "What are you doing?" he responds, "I'm building a wall." But the third bricklayer, the most productive of the three, the future leader of the group, when asked by Christopher Wren, "What are you doing?" with a gleam in his eye, he responds, "I'm building a cathedral to the Almighty." And that story's been told, Joe, for over 300 years, that the most productive people in life and in business are those of purpose.
And Skip Worth, this also applies, probably the hardest part, it applies to yourself, how you can change yourself. And nobody likes to do that.
Change is difficult unless you're a wet baby. Then that's pretty welcome. But the part that I write is basically, how do we prepare ourselves for maybe an eventual fire? How do we insulate ourselves from being damaged by it, both physically, psychologically, emotionally, spiritually? And that's very doable. My section was basically from a workshop that I've been doing for many years. I've been studying stress and researching it for 35 years. That's kind of my personal cathedral. And throughout the years, research has finally come to claim seven characteristics of people who successfully either come out of the fire or are stress resistant. And what are these characteristics that these people have that others don't? And if they have them, can we get them? And how much of it do we need? And the answer is yes, we can get it. And it's free. And God gave us all the tools to prepare us for this. And those seven, if I can just go through them briefly, the first characteristic is these people they have a sense of being in control. The second one goes with purpose. They're task involved. Next one is they make wise lifestyle choices. People who are stress resistant or come out of the fire have a social network of family and friends. The next one is these people have a sense of humor. They have a sense of religious values or an ethical regard for other people. And lastly, stress resistant people have a sense of optimism.
You mentioned in your book several men and women who are cathedral builders. The professional golfer Kenny Perry down in Franklin giving a lot of his winnings back to his church and charity. Retired General Dan Cherry in the Aviation Park here in Bowling Green. Does everyone know, Greg, a cathedral builder in their life that they can emulate?
I think they do. And in the world, thank goodness, is full of the Dan Cherries and the Charlie Plums of the world, who does the foreword to the book, who was in a POW prison camp and beaten and tortured for 6.5 years. And he tells a story that after he's released, a gentleman walks up to him in Kansas City and says, "You're Charlie Plum." And he goes, "Yeah, I'm Charlie Plum." He said, "You flew fighter jets in Vietnam. You were shot down on enemy territory. You spent 6.5 years in a POW prison camp. You were beaten and tortured every day." And Charlie Plum says, "Yes, how do you know all this?" And he said, "Because I packed your parachute." And he basically motivates us in the foreword of our book is, who packed your parachute? Was it that youth minister, that aunt or uncle, the teacher, the bus driver? And the challenge that we do in the book is, whose parachute are you packing? So I think we all do know people who see their life mission as a cathedral and not just bricklayers.
And once you become a cathedral builder, the implication is to pay back, to bring someone else up with you. How hard is that to do, Skip?
It's kind of like the old Chinese proverb. You know, if I catch a fish for you, feed you for one meal, if I teach you how to fish, you can feed yourself forever. So I think it's incumbent on us who have had any modicum of success in our lives is to pay it forward, for lack of a better term. I think it's a great term, actually. But people inherently want to do good, Joe. I think they get up thinking, I want to do something good.
And you said an interesting word right there, success. Not everyone has the same definition of success.
Oh, I love your question and where you're going with this.
Many people see, you know, I got a bigger paycheck than you do, so I'm more successful than you.
Yeah.
I've got a bigger house, a better car, a newer car, so I'm more successful than you. I don't think this book defines success in those terms.
Well, let me
throw
it back at you, and that's probably not fair for me to be your guest and throw the question at you. You're right. We all define success differently. But the things that you just listed, the car, the job, the money, do you think that inherently makes them successful? Is it a given now? Okay, I've arrived. I make $100,000 a year. I'm successful. Is it forever? No. You'll raise the bar. Now it's $200,000. You're conditionalizing life when you put, I'm going to be happy if. I love it. There's a great old quote. It has nothing to do with what I'm about to say, but I'm going to bend it to make it sound so. Gertrude Stein once said, when you get there, there isn't any there. It's one of my favorite things. She was talking about Oakland, California, by the way. But success is it should always be a moving target. And it is a moving target because success defines itself differently at different stages of our life.
Mm-hmm. And Greg, that's not a matter of defining success, not a matter of lowering the bar. It's just looking at your life differently.
Exactly. The number one reason for employee engagement is a personal relationship with his or her manager. The number one reason for engagement is a personal relationship with his or her manager. Number two is employees want to be able to get in the game. They want their talents utilized. And corporate America is in for a shock. Employers will say, well, you'll never leave. You make too much money here. You're too successful here. You can't afford to leave. The folks that we have in our workshops, we ask the question, would you leave your current employer today if you're not satisfied? And God bless the folks who are, and there are a lot of folks who are engaged. But if you're not engaged, would you leave your current employer to make $5,000 or $10,000 less money if you could find a position that provided you more purpose or purpose? And 100% raise their hand. The number one reason for engagement is a personal relationship with his or her manager. It's not an option to like your employees or for them to be engaged. It should be your responsibility as a leader. And as a leader, the question we ask is, who do you think they're talking about over the dinner table? It's not the CEO of the company. If you're in leadership, you've got to realize over the dinner table, they're talking about you. They're not only talking about you with their wife or their husband or their kids. They're talking about you with their parents, with their brothers, their sisters. So it's 100 people maybe. If you're a toxic manager, which we describe that in the book, if you're a toxic manager, you're negatively impacting hundreds of people. Plus, you're making an employee very disengaged and making her or him feel like a bricklayer.
Terrific. Well, the book is called Building Cathedrals, The Power of Purpose. Greg Coker, Skip Worth, thank you both very much for coming in this morning to talk about it. It's a terrific book.
Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. Thanks for having us.
General Motors Bowling Green Assembly Plant Manager Dave Tatman and Terry Daniels of Gallatin, Tennessee also collaborated on the book. You can find more at www.cathedralinstitute.com. For WKU Public Radio, I'm Joe Corcoran.